Thank you. I am from Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley, and I'd like to ask three questions. I believe that the pre-GAAP enterprise numbers were very good. But besides what was the blue, is there the large type that is getting in? For what is the dependence on the large deals? Is there a solid increase in the number of deals, or are you dependent on the large deals? Is there going to be further fluctuations in the future? Or do you think that this trend will continue in regard to the big deals? Of course, for the first quarter, there were deals that could not be closed that were closed in the second quarter. But then there were also other deals, so that overall, we had solid business in the second quarter. Meanwhile, in regard to the impact of big deals to increase sales, I believe that this scenario will continue. Mr. Omikawa explained about this, but it was quite rare for us to get very big deals, but we're seeing an increase of deals amounting to 100 million yen or more. And we're now working with value-added resellers who have large budgets. But then this means that there will be larger quarterly impacts depending on whether those deals are closed or not. What about the third quarter of last year? Was there a large concentrate of big deals? I don't remember that far back. I've grown old, and so the third quarter of last year is quite a long time ago for me. Last year in the third quarter, there wasn't that many big deals. But in terms of costs, because the costs were not that high, we were able to generate more profits in the third quarter of last year. I see. Thank you. Now, the second question I have, in regard to the SOC matter that you talked about, for related businesses, what is the impact in regard to the numbers? How many customers do you have, or do you have some idea about this? Well, we talked about strategic aspects. It's not something that we immediately switch on. And for our customers who have SOCs, we're moving forward. But the problem that they face as users of SOC is because information is siloed. And they want to respond more quickly, and they want to analyze more quickly. And so, to break down the silos, we believe that we can offer better products and solutions. And so we're strategically focusing more in this area by holding the camp sessions and so on. And of course, in regard to SOC-related sales, well, we haven't established a separate category for SOC sales. But in the IT infrastructure, in the enterprise market, we're thinking of generating more profits through the SOC business.
You will not see our revenue item that there's a revenue from SOC. Actually, it's all from the different product. You can say it's actually an extension of what we call connected threat defense strategy. For instance, right now, we're starting to see our customer using Tipping Point. Originally, our only product that was used by security operation centers are Tipping Point product. But now, the Tipping Point product customer are coming to us and ask about our deep security or even our office scan and user protection, because they seeing the need for integrate all those data. And we are trying to make our user protection product, deep security product, or even sometimes consumer product, IoT product, to be more integrated so that the SOC buyer who originally only used Tipping Point will now also think our other product is better for them.
And also it may be IoT, or in regard to the SOC strategy, we made announcements, and since then, among the corporations that we've been talking to, as well as the departments, We have seen more departments talk with us, and more upper management people have been talking with us as well. And in regard to IoT as well, we talked about Panasonic, and we're going to build a SOC with them. So overall, in these talks, we're being asked to join in the conversation more and more. We talked about InfoSec and the tie-up that we have with them. And there were cases where customers had specified us to be involved. So we're seeing specific progress in this area. Thank you. The third question that I'd like to ask is something that came up. In regard to Panasonic or Mentor Graphics, I understand there are various collaborations underway. And what has been the recent follow-up to those activities? Well, this is going to cover a long period of time. In the case of the connected car, we are periodically and steadily carrying out meetings. And we've finished phase one and are moving to phase two, and preparations are underway. I think that discussions are covering a span of 3 years, and we are moving forward in these efforts. I think that's the case for Panasonic. But what about with a company like Mentor Graphics? Is this starting to generate sales? In case of Mentor Graphics, they're in Tier 1, and they have efforts on their ICs, and also our products are involved. And when the vendors are going to release this, it's going to take time. So we have to look at cycles of at least 3 years or 4 years.
Any other questions? I'm Sato from Mizuho Securities, and I have just one question. For the third quarter, last year you posted 11 billion operating income, which was record high, and I think it's going to be difficult to beat that. Is there a risk that your operating income will be lower than the previous year? In which case, you have to try really hard in the fourth quarter, otherwise you will not be able to meet the guidance. That's my first question. And also, appliance hardware. I think it's increasing in terms of overall weight, and you were talking about increased cost for the hardware. When you provided your forecast, you mentioned that more numbers will be generated during the second half. Should we feel convinced, comforted? Or do you think the third quarter profit, operating income, will be the last hurdle that you have to overcome? We don't provide forecast for quarters, so we don't really talk about the third quarter. Is it high hurdle? Yes, it is. But the biggest thing for us is fourth quarter in terms of sales size. So rather than the third quarter, the question is what happens in the fourth quarter. So right now, looking at the numbers, we believe that we will meet the expectations, but we cannot really guarantee that yet because we will have risks until the end. But we think it's going to be in line with the plan. So you know how much of the pipeline can be cut over in the fourth quarter? Yes, some of that.
Our appliances product is our costs will increase, but actually our appliances product is also sold with subscription revenue, and we take very conservative measure for revenue recognition. Subscription only recognized per quarter, but the cost part we recognize once we sell. So when we sell a lot of appliances, the first quarter you see it's higher cost, but later on it becomes subscription revenue.
Are you expecting a lot of hardware sales recognized in the fourth quarter?
I don't know, but our Omigawa-san kept on selling a lot of cloud edge and tipping points, so it might be.
わかりました。 ありがとうございます。
Understand. Thank you.
We're going back and forth. My name is Kikuchi of SMBC Nikko Securities, and I'd like to ask about page 20 in terms of costs. It was already mentioned about the fact that the costs were low in the third quarter and the costs were higher in the fourth quarter. I think there were fluctuations. If you try to level that out, then gradually you're seeing the increase in the headcount and the costs are going up in parallel to that. But in the second quarter, it seems like the costs were rather high. It seems like the costs have accelerated and increased. So for this fiscal year's company plans, well, it seems like the progress that you're achieving in profits is not as fast as previous years. In terms of increased costs, I'm sure that you're making efforts. You're also increasing the headcount, and there are unavoidable strategic elements that have to be covered. And I'm sure that you're cognizant about this. But when it comes to costs, to expand the business, it's unavoidable. Do you feel that it's unavoidable to increase costs? Or are you going to be looking into way of reducing costs? In our case, we have previously explained about this, but the priority is as forth: customers, employees, and then shareholders. So we're not... The important thing is to continue to look at opportunities for investments. There are a lot of opportunities, and in regard to where we need to focus, we have to look at the competitiveness of our company. We have to look at what can benefit the customer and look at the opportunities for investments. If there's the opportunity and if we have more investments that need to be made beforehand and that the profits may be undermined, as long as we're able to explain to the shareholders, we'll move forward with such efforts. And we're also told that we shouldn't hold on to that much cash, that we should invest more. And if we do make the investments, then profit ratios may go down. That's understandable. But at any rate, we want to look at how we can generate value for the customer. That is our highest priority. Well, even if costs increase, if the top line increases, that's fine. But currently, I think that your pre-gap numbers are growing. So on a historical basis, it's on a high level. But the pre-gap growth is lower than average. So there's the possibility that the top line may increase very rapidly. But are you still going to continue to give priority to investments? In a particular quarter, if the investments are made, then it's not linked to the profit levels. For 3 years ahead, we may have to make an investment now. But we have to also look at whether we're able to achieve profitability levels for that particular quarter. At any rate, we give priority to the profitability in the future. And also, we have to look at the annual numbers. So we believe that we can achieve the numbers that we've been talking about. But if there are positive opportunities to make investments for the future, then we'll give that a highest priority. And so there may be cases where we may not be able to generate the profits at that particular time when the investments have to be made.
I think I need to take responsibility for some of the cost. But I believe cost, there's good cost and there's bad cost. If the cost was used to, for instance, we all get a big salary increase, that's a very bad cost. But we do hire some new people, but that is because we believe some of the region, for instance, Mahendra might mention some of the new region that we want to invest in. So we establish the support center and everything in there. So some of the new the cost was spent on the new office establishment in the new region. But the other cost is probably something like I just mentioned about the Prague summer camp. That's quite some cost, but it's very important. So we have, I would say, three major costs. First cost increase is our cloud expense, like AWS, Azure, as we move our computing and also our AI engine running in there and building up of the data lake. That part of the cost increase. The second part of the cost increase is a lot of this training that we need to provide, and we believe upgrading our people's capability. So that's the second part. And the third part is it's true that by selling more appliances, of course, we need to increase all these appliances cost, inventory cost, and But that is paving for, that means that we're acquiring new customer, and later on that would turn into subscription model. So those are the costs we believe is good costs that we are increasing.
That means that we'll be able to get our bonuses. Just like the investors.
Any other questions? Nakayama, I'm in Japan. Thank you for your explanation. Question about SOC and silos. So silos is the current situation. And you have explained the strategy about the silos. Competitive security companies, what are they doing in this area? And how would you position your strategy? What kind of advantage does your strategy have?
Thank you very much for your question. If you think, I say Trend Micro has silo. At least we recognize that. We make an effort to break it. I would say most of our other competitor, if you see, they acquire a lot of company and they kept on changing their organization. They were just creating more silos. And that's why I believe our strategy for creating a connected organization, that's a sustainable strategy, competitive advantage, especially in the age of AI. If you want to utilize the best technology like data lake, artificial intelligence, analyzing data, then creating an organization without silo is the only sustainable strategy for any company. I cannot comment on my competitors, but if you just see from outside, they change their product name, they change their company name, they change their CEO, they change their organization, they announce all this acquisition, and I don't think they are aware and making an effort of breaking the silos in their organization. And that's why I think our strategy is more sustainable and going to be a long-term competitive edge, especially in the cybersecurity world, because the only way that you can secure a connected world is when your organization is connected.